You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, September 27th. Joining me by phone this morning, Deaconess Pat Neufer, president, founder and president of Hands of Mercy Mission. Deaconess Neufer, welcome back to His Time.
Thank you.
Thanks for being my guest and sharing with us about the Hands of Mercy Mission. Tell me a little bit about how this Hands of Mercy Mission got started. What was the need that was demonstrated that helped you see the need or to found this organization?
Well, actually, I say that my eyes were opened to a tremendous need by going actually to South Sudan. The president of the Lutheran Church, it was an emerging church in South Sudan, and they invited or asked the LCMS to send over some people to see what the situation was. So my husband, who is professor at the seminary in Fort Wayne and was also in charge of or was also involved in the missions department there, was asked to go, and he agreed, and he said he also wanted to take his wife. So I was a tag-along in that mission, that first mission trip back in 2005. And as a sort of tag-along, I had to kind of decide what my own job was, and that was to sort of see what the situation was for people with disabilities there. I had become an advocate for people with disabilities because of our son who happened to have Down syndrome. And so as I spent the 2 weeks over there in South Sudan as part of this team, I made contact with people, church leaders, that were able to put together a group of people with significant disabilities in this village of Yambio, and I quickly was able to sort of see what their needs were and the lack of resources that they had. So that was a sort of beginning of Hands of Mercy. As I came back from that trip and realized that I had been given the privilege to see a tremendous need and couldn't just walk away from it, I wrote a grant to Human Care and World Relief to go back and basically start some kind of outreach in partnership with the Lutheran Church there to people with disabilities. And that's how Hands of Mercy got started.
What was it in your, you shared your own personal experience having a son born with Down syndrome. What was it that you learned in through your own personal experience that really pushed you forward into advocacy for people with disabilities, that helped you see this need around the world? What was it in your own experience?
Well, I think it was partly coming from the fact that we have many services for people with disabilities here in the United States, and that isn't true in the rest of the world. But also, I think it was the recognition that the church, you might say, has the answers that people with disabilities are asking and searching for. Not only the tangible resources that the church is the sort of can be the front line of supporting and helping people with physical needs, but also that they have the spiritual answers, and that those answers really don't come from government programs or secular supports, and that the church answer is the lasting answer that people with disabilities need.
What does Hands of Mercy look like in South Sudan? Tell me about the operation there.
Well, we have actually 7 permanent buildings now, and permanent buildings meaning we have a metal roof and we have brick buildings. We have a shop which sells things to the village, like rice and beans. And when I go, I always bring lots of American things that are always a great benefit to the sale of the shop. We have solar power, in that we have all of our buildings actually are now powered with electricity, so to speak, generated by solar. We have rental space to people in the community, especially we have some, because we're so close to the Congo, we have Congolese refugees that are always needing rental housing. We have, because we have metal roofs, we have cisterns to collect rainwater, which is huge over there because the wells are far apart, and we now have our own source, basically, for not only drinking water, but washing and all sorts of reasons for collecting water. We run a small school for children, mainly children who have, we would detect a cerebral palsy. And we pick them up with a vehicle. So we now have a vehicle, which is a big thing over there. We also have a new business, and that is a salon, a hair salon and nails. These all employ people with disabilities who come to the center every day, and they come for a hot meal, and they also come for Bible and English schooling. These are mainly adults. So we do run sort of an ongoing workshop for people, adults with disabilities to come during the day. We also have a little a photo business, and we have a printer and a digital camera to take pictures as income also. Let's see. I think that's about it. We employ five paid local staff. We have a manager and a teacher and a cook. And then a shopkeeper, and we also give a stipend to local pastors, or to the local pastor, to be sort of a liaison between Hands of Mercy and the Lutheran church there.
How do you work with the local church? How do you partner with the local church?
Well, we have an operating agreement, which was an important thing to put in place when times get tough, so to speak, but... mainly, that's a financial agreement that Hands of Mercy funds are kept separate from the church. There's just a widespread corruption throughout a lot of Africa, so we just felt it was important to keep our funds separate from the church. But we're housed on church grounds. We're owned, so to speak, by the church. So Hands of Mercy... in the United States and financially is separate, but there in South Sudan, we're very much a part of the church.
Well, speaking of the United States, what does Hands of Mercy do here in the United States? Tell me about your work here in the U.S.
Well, our work here in the U.S. is mainly to sort of energize people for mission work, and specifically mission work for supporting and helping people with disabilities become self-supporting themselves. So we mainly work through volunteers who connect basically the mission societies here, such as LWMLs or churches or individuals, specifically with the needs of Hands of Mercy over in South Sudan. So mainly we're funded through grants and, of course, donations, but from LWML districts, from... Concordia Lutheran Ministry, they've given us grants every year. I also do a good amount of speaking at rallies and churches and conventions. But the gist of how we're connected is basically in not only financially, but also in making things, quote unquote. That's assembling kits that we do here in the States, such as first aid kits or hygiene kits, prison kits, all different kinds of, now we're doing my first Bible and catechism backpack, which we basically make, create, and then I take those things over there and distribute them.
How has Hands of Mercy made a difference in South Sudan?
Well, I think it's made hopefully a big difference to the church in showing them theologically, you might say, the reason for extending mercy to the least of these. When you're working with a struggling poor church, it's difficult because everyone has needs. So actually to help them see a little legitimacy of an outreach to people who are in greater need than they are has been a bit of a challenge. But I think because we have done it, quote unquote, for them, to show them, and have brought people with significant disabilities who generally have not been able to contribute, quote unquote, to the church. I think seeing them being enfolded in the church has been hopefully a model of the gospel there. Certainly the testimony of the people with significant disabilities coming with very little tangibly in their hands to give. They can't. Well, they do dig in the ground and do man the shop and do work in our workshop, but they haven't been able to contribute as we might see people contribute to a church. But I think the caring arm of the church, Builders and Church in South Sudan, has hopefully been energized by having Hands of Mercy there.
The people,
certainly the effect locally in the United States has certainly been established, so to speak, in the ongoing support Lutherans and other churches have had for this mission. I keep saying, okay, maybe this is the last time I'll go, and I come home and boom, in the mail, there's, you know, the support checks and the requests for speaking, and so say, okay, keep on going.
How do the people you serve learn about Jesus? What is it that they learn about Jesus through Hands of Mercy?
Well, I think they learn that Jesus cares for them. People with disabilities are, of course, the most disenfranchised people in a poor country where they can't contribute power-wise as other people can. So I think that they are seeing that Jesus cares for them. He hasn't forgotten them. People in the United States or in more affluent countries care for those who their own country has considered not worthy of being cared for. I think they certainly see and read about and learn about Jesus through the work that the kits that we distribute and the education that we're giving the people has certainly Christ-centered. Their textbook is My First Bible, which is a children's Bible, but it's in English, and My First Catechism. So I think that, and those are the first and only books most likely that they will ever own. So I guess I want to feel confident that Jesus is at the center of all we do.
And who do you partner with to carry out? You mentioned mission societies and LWML groups, things like that. Who do you partner with to carry out this work that the Lord has given you?
Yes. Well, we have reached out to different organizations outside the LCMS. That's mainly our bread and butter, you might say, comes from LWMLs and rallies and district grants and churches. But then we also have gone beyond that for specific needs, such as we partner with Wheels for the World to be able to get wheelchairs. We've taken over 7 wheelchairs to date for our children that are in the school, so they can have a wheelchair at home and then a wheelchair also at school. We've also been able to take over one of these kits. They're called PET, or personal energy kits, but they basically make a kind of adapted wheelchair, wood wheelchair, and they come in kits. And we're hoping that perhaps Orphan Grain Train will partner with us to be able to get a container over there that would take many of these PETs over there. We also have different organizations like Concordia Lutheran Ministries that I mentioned before. I just wrote a grant, yearly write a grant for them, and they've accepted our grants all along. So I think those are mainly the people that we partner with. We're starting a new partnership, hopefully, with L'Arche, which is French for the Ark, and it's a Christian organization worldwide that develops homes for people with disabilities and people without disabilities choosing to live together. And there's one in Uganda that I'm hoping we're going to be able to develop a partnership with.
Deaconess Newfer, with just about a minute left, how can we find out more about Hands of Mercy, the work that you're doing, and the need there?
Well, we do have a website, which is handsofmercymission.org. We're on Facebook, of course, but mainly the contact, I guess, comes to and through me, because this is a small organization. We have a board of directors, but I'm mainly the go-to person. So people can contact me directly. I'm a roster deaconess. We are an RSO with the LCMS, so we are in the annual, for example. But other than that, they can contact me, Deaconess Pat Newfer, at Gmail. Or, well, actually, my Gmail is patneufer@gmail.com or handsofmercymission.org.
Very good. Handsofmercymission.org. Deaconess Pat Neufer, thanks so much for being my guest today, sharing the story with us.
All right. Thanks very much, Andy. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily lectionary. Just today, we'll study with Pastor Kelm at Trinity Lutheran Church in Summerfield, Florida. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.